at the end of page 2. At the end, we were talking about a type of yayush, a type of despair or letting go of a simcha sechaim that is not the result of one's lack of emuna, lack in emuna. It's not the result of a person who doesn't believe that at any moment Hashem Yisbarach could change everything, and that tomorrow could be gevaldig, and everything could be better. This person believes b'emuna shleima, that everything is in Hashem Yisbarach's hands, and hayipoli, Hashem dover, and tomorrow could be great. The problem is not with belief in tomorrow, the problem is today, right now, with the hoive, the present, that because of certain difficulties, disappointments, whatever they may be, that because of those difficulties or disappointments, could be in one's personal life, children, marriage, panasa, in ruchnius, in one's Yiddishkeit, that because of failures or disappointments and difficulties, even though the person believes that Hashem runs the world and tomorrow could be better, but for now, the individual has been sapped of his or her energy and simply goes about the chore of life with very, very little enthusiasm, with very little simchas achayim. So the yeyush here is not a yeyush, is not giving up the possibility of the future being better, but it's simply a yeyush in the present. But Hashem Yisroel Baruch could help. There's a famous story that maybe I've told here in the past with the Holy Visionist, Chusei Yalena, that the visioner had a son who was going to be in the future the Rebbe from Charkiv. The Moshe Charkiv was one of the great, great Rebbes in Poland. And when he was a little boy, he was in his father's palace. The visioner had mamash a palace. And Jews were coming from all over to speak to the visioner. And they had to wait a while till they would have that audience. I'm sure many of you know this story. And there was a Yid Nebuchadnezzar's. He had a child that was sick, and he had no panasa, and he had to marry off. I'll look at the Zachem. So he had sorrows, and he was coming to talk to the visioner. And the little boy, the chartgiver, the future chartgiver Rebbe, the son of the Rebbe, the visioner's son, was hanging around in his father's court. And he was a very, very precocious child. He would give chizik and talk to people and wait with them until they would have their moment with the Rebbe. So this particular Yid was talking to the little boy about how much sorrows he has. And the chartgiver told him that when you go into my father, tell him, don't let the gaba pull you out. Because he's standing there, you know, the gaba is standing there, and he'll pull you out. You tell him exactly what's going wrong. Tell him about your wife, tell him about your daughter, tell him about your son, tell him about everything. And don't let them push you around. So that the little boy got this Yid all psyched up. And finally, after a few days, it came his turn. And he goes into the rabbi. And like 3-4 minutes later, he's out. So the little boy came over, the future rabbi came over and asked him, what happened, Yankel? So he said, what happened is that I went and I told the rabbi. He said, did you tell the rabbi about your wife? Yeah. You told about your son? Yes. You told about your daughter? Yes. No. So what did the rabbi say? So he said, the rabbi said this, the Avis is all helpful. That Hashem should help him. Yeah, no. And no, then they pulled me out. He said that Hashem should help. I said, Amen. And they pulled me out. So then the little boy, the future child giver, said, yeah, but what's going to be until that time that Hashem helps? How are you going to manage? You shouldn't have settled. Why do you accept that? You have to go back. So it's another 3 or 4 days. And this Yid is hanging out over there in the chatzah. And finally, he goes back in, and before he goes in, the little boy tells him, the chartgiver says, this time, don't, you make sure to say your piece, and don't let them pull you out. Okay, he goes in, this time, also, 2 minutes he's out. So the boy goes over, what happened? Did you tell my father? You said to the rabbi, he says, yeah, and that you have this sorrow and your wife. I said, and what did the rabbi say? He says, the Abish is all help. He said, Hashem should help. And they began to pull me. And then what? He said, and then I screamed out. I said, so Rebbe, what am I going to do until Hashem helps? So he said that the Rebbe told me, your father told me, that the Eibusha should help you until the day that he helps you. And that's what it says in the Torah, Ki lo yezavcha ki masher asisi as asher dibarati lach. That Hashem made a promise to Yaakov Avinu that it's going to be good. But Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, but until that day, ki lo yezavcha, I won't abandon you until that day. In other words, I'm going to be with you until I help you. Until the help will be the help that you're waiting for, until that day, you also need to be helped. So, for many, many people who believe that the Eibusha will help them, that the time will come and the Eibusha will help, but the Yeyush sets in because of the present, and that in the present time of my life, I don't feel that I'm being helped. And I feel abandoned. And because of that, I'm misyayish. And the yayish here means just, it could be a subtle thing, it could be something which is very extreme. In a subtle way, like he explained, like the Mechaber explained, in a subtle way, the person simply doesn't have a zest for life. Just schleps through the business of being in this world without a true simcha. And always is looking forward to that when the simcha will come, that there'll be a simcha, then I'll be fine, then I'll be pulled out of this, and so on and so forth. So the bottom of page 2. Im karu tzadikim aloich v'karei al yeyush. Now the tzadikim have called out to us, al yeyush. There's no such thing as yeyush, as giving up. Mashma yeyush ma shemanik koyach v'oiz l'hismoydeid b'hoiveh. It's mashma from what they're telling us, the tzaddikim, that there's no such thing as yeyush. It doesn't only mean about tomorrow. It means that even today, that they're giving us, that somehow the tzaddikim are giving us the strength, l'smoydeid means to contend with, today, the present. Ad sheyochush yehudi koev, shehino chai noiseyes atzmoy, till even a Jew who's in pain because of the circumstances of his life, can still be filled with a chiyas, to be noiseyes atzmo, to carry himself and to feel alive. Ve'na nigrar ve'nisrach b'chayis achiyas, and he's not schlepped along without any feeling of life. Next page, Yeishma, page 3. Yeishma shemei v'yis alev lahashlim imanase mitoy chayfetz v'haskoma. Sometimes a person's heart can accept the present, can accept what's happening with him, with chayfetz and haskama, which means with not begrudgingly, but with a full feeling of contentment and acceptance. Not just because I don't have a choice. I remember many, many years ago, this was already over 30 years, around 30 years ago, I was sitting on a bezdin for a get. Where I used to learn in a kollel in the afternoon, and many times we had their gittin, and we were learning as part of our learning also, we got to see that. And I was sitting on the bezin, and the husband didn't really want to give a get to his wife. He didn't really understand what was happening, and he didn't really feel good about it. She wanted out. You know, she wanted out. And, of course, many discussions had already taken place, and it wasn't a shayla, she wants out. So, in the process of giving the get, the halacha requires that, everybody knows, the halacha requires that the husband give the get to his wife completely by his own free will. We're not allowed to force a person to give a get. He has to do this, lishma, with the intent of divorcing this wife, and without any coercion at all. It's against halacha to coerce the person to give a get. So it's a whole long thing, and we have to read through this whole long nusach, and the bezin has to sit there. And what happened with this fellow was, and she was there. So what happened is that we would come to that, we would go through the whole thing, and we come to that place where we would ask him, are you giving, you say first in Hebrew, and then in English, are you giving this get by your own free will and accord? So he said like this, no, no. So the rabbi said, what do you mean, no? So he said, am I giving my free will? Do I have a choice? So he said, no, it can't be like that. Do I have a choice? You have to give this by your own free will. So he had said, this happened like three or four times. He said, my own free will. she doesn't want to stay married to me, so I'm not going to force her to stay married to me, so I have to give a get. I'll give a get. So we had to go through the whole thing again and take him to another woman to explain to him the situation and where he stands, and does he fully accept. And then we came back into the room, and everybody's waiting. And again, it would come to the thing, everything he says, yes, yes, yes. And he says, is this with your own free will? And he would say, well, they told me it's my own free will, so it's my own free will. And this was going on and on. It was Rachmanis. You see, he didn't really want, he couldn't let go. So there are things in life that you accept, but the loimitach hashlom shel choyse breyer, you're accepting because you're not really given a choice. That doesn't make you into a happy camper. Just because you accept something means that means that you don't have the strength to fight against it, nor are you able to fight against it. Does that mean that you're happy? It doesn't mean that you're happy. That doesn't mean that inside of you you've really come to terms with it. For lack of any other choice, you're stuck in the situation. So there are many, many people that will say the words Baruch Hashem, I understand, and what could you do? That's how it is, and so on and so forth. It's Michoise Breira. It's not because of Haskam or Chayfet Salev. It's because they have no choice. Yesh Mashemeser Asikifon Minefesh Yehudi. But it must be if the tzaddikim have revealed to us that there's no such thing as Yayush, not only from the future, but even from the present. It must be that there's something that we could do to remove this. To remove this paralysis, kifa'on means when something is frozen or stuck, numb. To remove this numbness, minefesh Yehudi. Because when a person feels that they're in a life that's not of their own choice, and that there are certain conditions of life that have teamed up against him, and he has no choice but to accept it, so in that situation, there's a certain numbness that comes with acceptance. But there's no simchas chaim. The person's not happy. Lahachzeloi esabechi vesaschoik. You remember we spoke the first year about there are people that they simply are no longer really capable of crying a good cry or of laughing a good laugh. They've just become numb. There must be a way to come out of that. Esashalva vahasavlonus, to regain one's inner tranquility and savlonus. Esatfila vechet vesachaim. Tefillah, to daven again, not just to say the words, but to have a gishmak in davening, to have a sechaim, to have a joy of life. V'hakol b'soy chamatzav anichoichi, and all of this while still being stuck in that situation. All of that while still being told nothing more than the Eibush is all help and that may God help you, but right now you don't see that He's helping you. So when they said there's no Yeyush, it means even now there's no Yeyush. Netzibazah Hashem lahol and mayoka hamatzav hazeh sheshmo Yeyush. We're going to learn in a little bit how precious this matzav is that's called Yeyush. Now that sounds odd because we associate Yeyush with something which is very negative. But what is it that we can gain during times like that in life? Bim zeicha adam, if a person is zeicha, ve'ino netzar boy li'tamein tachtav, and he doesn't get buried, it doesn't stop him, it doesn't bury him, this feeling of yeyush. In other words, everything we go through in life, Hashem Baruch is telling us something. Everything in life, Hashem Baruch is speaking to us. Every moment of our lives, He's speaking to us. It's very, very hard to hear if you're holding the pillow over your head, or if you have your head in the ground. So what can one come out from or with when he's in a matzav like this, where he feels that the circumstances of life are just beyond his control, and there are things that have happened that have broken his heart or broken her heart? El mishtamesh by kepesach v'shar lovei el apsia achas and adreshes ata b'leif. But instead of being destroyed by this yeyush, the person uses it as a means of moving forward in life. And not only that, but we're going to learn v'hi tachlis akol. And truthfully, it's the tachlis of life. Now those who are here for the Shabbos shiurim that I've been giving, we'll see a connection between what we're learning on Shabbos and what we're learning here. This is with a different emphasis, but it's the same inyan. Shana Rabbeinu, Ois Gimel. We've been taught, Iker v'tachlis kol habriya. What's the tachlis of life? What's the tachlis of creation? What do you think the answer to that question is if you walk into a yeshiva class? I'm not talking about fifth graders. If you walk into a class of 11th or 12th graders, and you ask the kids, what's the tachlis of life? And not that they're trying to give you the business, you know, they're trying to impress you. Just, what's the tachlis of life? What would you expect a typical response of a teenager to be when asked the question, what's the point of your life? What would you think the typical, I've done this on many occasions, what would you expect the typical answer of a teenager to be? No? What do you think a teenager would say?
Marriage?
Maybe in the girls' class. The boys would never say that. That's one of the problems, by the way. That's it. Okay, there's a very frum kid in the class. Says schar, alam haba, fine. I'll tell you what the typical answer is. Across the board, what?
My girls would say good marks, good schools.
Which translates at that time of the life, one thing, means to be happy. The typical teenage answer, and there are studies that have been made about this as well. The typical teenage answer when asked, what's the tachlis, what's the point of your life, whether they're religious or not religious, the typical teenage response is to be happy. That's the tachlis of life, is to be happy. Because the Rebbeinu Shlomo put us in this world to be happy. So, that sounds nice. And halavai should be that everybody should be happy. But to think that that's the tachlis, I only said that using the example of teenagers, because I want to be polite. But the truth is that many, many, many adults would have the same response. And even if they would say something that would be more impressive, but in their hearts, life has been a disappointment because they're not happy with what they've been dealt. They're not happy. And the reason that that lack of satisfaction in life has brought them to such despair is because even though they might not say it, but deep down, they also think like the 16-year-old that the tachlis of my life is to be happy. It doesn't say anywhere at all, anywhere, in Teresh Shabbat Sabbath, Teresh Shabbat, that the tachlis of a Jew's life is to be happy. But it doesn't say anywhere that the tachlis of creation is to be happy. That's not true at all. If one knows what the tachlis is and lives with that tachlis, then no matter what happens in life, he'll be happy. But the tachlis of life is not happiness. That's bechlal not part of our Torah. Happiness, of course, is. Simcha is a huge thing. But that's not why the world was created, that we should be happy, that we should be tzefidin with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's not the tachlis of creation. Ikke v'tachlis kol habriya is legalus kvoid malchusi yisbarach. There are many ways that this is expressed in the Svarim HaKadoshim. But the ikke tachlis of creation is to reveal kvoid malchusi yisbarach, to reveal the covet of Hashem's malchus, which is the ultimate good that a person can experience, that a person can achieve. And if the person lives with that, then every drop of gilui kvoid malchus shamayim, every drop of mitzvahs, every drop of learning, every drop of tefillah, every drop of tikkun hamidos, every drop of shmiras einayim, shmiras haloshon, every drop will bring happiness, because you're living in the way of your tachlis. But the tachlis is gilui kvoid malchus yisbarach. Yichud Hashem. V'yeda, we say it in davening, the Hal Yontiv. V'yeda kol pu'ul ki ata pa'altoi. V'yoven kol yitzur ki ata yitzartoi. All we daven for Shem Kippur, all we daven is that every single thing that exists should know ki ata pa'altoi. That you're the only one. That you're the one that gives life. V'yoven kol yitzur ki ata yitzartoi. You created, you're the creator. V'yoyim kol Hashem neshama va'apa. In everything and everything that has the breath of life, and it should be able to call out Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Melech Malchus Bekol Mashal. Hamelech. That's the tachlis of our being in the world. Hamelech. Adoin Olam, Molach Gam B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. As we say in the Adoin Olam, Hashem Esbarach didn't need us in order for him to be all-powerful and all-knowing, whatever else. Atu Kaidim Shnivra Olam, Hashem existed before there was a world. Ram, however, Leis Nasa B'Chefza Kol Azay Melech Shmai Nikra. What did change with creation is this, that before creation, Hashem could not have been known as a king. He couldn't have been called Melech, because Ein Melech B'loi Om. There's no such thing as a king without subjects, without a kingdom. So what changed with creation, as far as Hashem Kivyochel was concerned, is that what we say in Adon Olam. Leis Nasa B'Chefza Kol, when Hashem created everything the way that he wanted, Azay Melech Shmai Nikra. Then he became known as a king. He was called Melech. Dahainu Shmi'ata Nikra Melech Gam B'Fi Habriyas. Now he can be called, referred to as king by all that exists. Lamrois Evsharus HaBechir Shabiyodim. Now, of course, the hamloche, the real hamloche, the real coronation of the king, is by those of his subjects who have free choice. Because the coronation is only meaningful if it's a decision that the individual makes. In Chabad, the night of Rosh Hashanah is called Leil HaHatorah, the night of the coronation. That's the inyan of Hamelach. Hamelach means that boss of Adam, Balei Bechira, who could go this way or that way, who have a million things pulling at them in every direction, have made once again the decision that we're going to go with him. We're signing up. Hamelach. That's really what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Everything else is just a commentary on that. Hamelach. We're signing up. We want to be part of the Malchus. With everything, this is it, this is true. Udvarcha Malkeinu Emes V'Kayim La'ad. We're signing up. So, when Balei Bechira make that choice, that's called Azay Melech Shemay Nikra. That Kivyochel was not there before creation. That Nivroim, who have choice, can look to Hashem and call him king and say, Avinu Malkeinu. That's the tachlis of the Bria. Lirai says, Sa'olam kibisnal chasu sholem mikoichem va'aitzim yodam. Balei Bechira have the choice to come to a different conclusion. And the different conclusion is that we run the world. That human beings run the world. And koichi v'aitzim yadi, the world is through my strength and through my decisions. V'al tzir zeh ha'nisoyin ha'godol shel achayim. And on this axis, on this point, revolves the nisoyin, the test of all of life. This is what the Ramchal spoke about at the beginning of Mesil Shasharim as the test of every moment of life. And this is what the Ramchal describes in Mesil Shem at the beginning, that every moment of life we're in a battle. We're not in a battle, hopefully, with others, but there's a struggle, there's a war that's waged within the self, within oneself. This is the Nisoyin HaGodol Shel HaChayim. Ha'oifef is kol chayei ha'odam, that surrounds the entire life of a person, that hovers over the entire life of a person. Ad achris yoyim ha'achra. Till his last day, till his last moment. How are you going to look at this moment of life? This is the Melchama that Ramchal spoke as being every moment of life. How are you going to see this moment? Are you going to see this moment of creation as an expression, a manifestation of Hashem's presence in the world, of Hashem's malchus in the world, of Hashem's koyach in the world? Malchusoy b'kol mashallah, like you were saying in davening. Malchusoy b'kol mashallah. Oy, yite achamaris ayin, or are you going to be misled by the way things appear to the eye? Shall koichi v'aitzim yadi, as if it's up to me, or some other force in the world, or individual in the world. Koichi v'aitzim yadi, osili esachayel hazeh. Mikan ha-hester ha-noira ha-malave es kol shlarei ha-chayim. This is the source of the horrible hester, of the horrible concealment that goes with us every single step of our lives. After the Milchama, after the Holocaust, the Satmar of Schusing was in Williamsburg. I don't know if it was the first Yom Nirayim or the next one, but it was a very short time after the Milchama. And they were davening together with the Satmar Rebbe. And the people there in the shul, they were all fellow survivors. And at some point the Satmar Rebbe began to scream. He says, Rabbi Shalom, we all know that you exist. And we knew all along that you existed. And we know that you're here with us, this very moment you're here with us. But we're begging you to reveal yourself. And they all started to cry. We're asking you to show that you're here, to show yourself to us. The Satmar Rebbe was screaming this. We need some chizuk. This is something that goes with a person every moment of his life. To be able to see before your eyes a world that is contradicting what you believe, a world that is telling you that you'll only succeed and your entire fate depends on fate, on this or this or that, or this person or that person, or this amount of money, that amount of money, whatever it might be. And your emunah is telling you, ein od milvada. Your emunah says that no, there's nothing except Hashem is Baruch. Ein od milvada. There's nothing, there's only a Kodesh Baruch. Ein od milvada. This nisayin is not only by some big thing in life. It's every minute of life. Lo seis levar temusa tchushas yitzivus v'kayach, to attribute to a mortal human being, someone who's going to die, a sense of stability and strength, meaning that this person is going to be the one who's going to save me. My life depends upon this institution, this person. That's what gives me a feeling of yitzivus. Yitzivus means stability, security, and koyach and strength. Kula sheker emir. It's a ben temusa. It's a mortal human being. Kula sheker emir. Sheker, I don't have to translate that. It's all deception and sheker and false. Kedei lahanik lo yisez damnus hagadoyla loser hemena. Every moment of life you have that choice. Either to put your chips with that mortal being, or that institution of this world, or that statistic of this world, that's sheker v'chazav, or to use this as a great opportunity to turn back and remember the truth, the lo shuv ela emes achas, the single one truth, shein oid milvad yisbarach, shein oid milvad yisbarach. There was a tzaddik who described this in a very beautiful way. He said that people pay a lot of money for a nice asterisk. You know, it's not so far off. People pay a lot of money for a nice asterisk. What does it mean, a nice asterisk? That itself is a whole section in Shulchan Aruch. But beautiful shape, nice and bumpy, beautiful color, has a good yichus to asterisk, it's taken brought from a good place. People pay a lot of money for a beautiful asterisk, or for a beautiful pair of tefillin, and so on and so forth. The inyan of beautifying a mitzvah in halacha, how's that referred to? What's that called? Hidur mitzvah, right? No mitzvah, hidur mitzvah. Sefer Torah that's mehudar, a tefillin that's mehudar, and so on. We try to make the Shabbos as beautiful as we can. We do everything we can to make the mitzvahs beautiful. That's hidur mitzvah. Zek keli va'anveyu. To make things as beautiful as possible. So people love to have a mehudar dik esek, a mehudar dik tefillin, a sefer Torah, and so on. So this tzaddik said that when you have to make a decision in life, and there's one side of you that's pulling you to the sheker, to that false choice of Olam Hazeh, and giving in to that fear and giving in to that inyan of this world, and the other side is pulling you to Ein Oid Milvado, is pulling you to the Rebbeinu Shalom, telling you don't lose hope, don't lose faith, to be mischazik, to be besimcha. So this tzaddik said, you should try to imagine that the Rebbeinu Shalom at that moment is giving you a mohudadike cheftza of Ein Oid Milvado. The same way you have a beautiful esrog in your hands and you're proud of it, when you have a choice to make, and it's a very hard choice, especially when it's a hard choice, any choice, but particularly it's a hard choice, then you shouldn't look at it as like, oy vey. You should look at it, what a mehudadike bechira chavshis the Baruch Shalom gave me. What a mehudadike moment this can be. I hid the mitzvah, and the mitzvah of what? Of ani mamen b'mun ushlein. Of ein oid milvadi. I hid it, of ein oid milvadi. When it's just a small choice to make in life, it's a little yetzahara, a little yetzahara. So then it's not such a mehudadike ein milvadi. It's not so hard. It's not so hard. And it's like a regular esrog. A plain esrog, but when you have a really, really, really hard choice to make, and the side of this world is telling you, go for it, you're going to enjoy this, this is going to give you whatever pleasure or excitement, v'chulu v'chulu, and then on the other side, you have the Baruch Shalom saying, it's me, it's only me. So, this tzaddik said, you should see that moment as if Hashem is giving you into your hands, a mehudadike ein oid milvado. Not just an ein oid milvado. A mahudadik ain't. Because I could use this moment and if I go the right way at this moment and I make the right decision and I run to the Rebbeinu Shalom, then it's not stam ain't muvada, it's a mahudadik ain't muvada. Because it was hard. I paid a lot for this. Not in money, but it cost me. It cost me. What did it cost? What did you give up? Could be you gave up an intense physical pleasure that the rest of the world is running after. Could be you gave up. Could be you gave up a certain shidduch. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago. There was a shidduch that was proposed for the son. A shidduch was brought up, and we went over the whole thing, and I didn't understand what was so exciting about the shidduch, based upon what they were telling me. So what came out, unfortunately, that was exciting about the shidduch would be only something that would give excitement by the chasna, which meant that it was a very, very chashuv family. The name of the family is a very, very big name, very big connections, both in terms of some individuals that know how to learn, and in terms also of considerable wealth. So, but as far as that particular individual was concerned, it didn't seem to go at all. And I understood that there was something here that was exciting in the shidduch, but it wasn't the girl, which wouldn't be fair to their son, and it wouldn't really be fair to the young lady either. Because besides the day of the chasna, or maybe it's nice by a levaya, you could say chasheva, you could have chasheva aspidim or something, but besides that, just day to day, really what's important is that the boy and the girl should be a good match, not what the yichus is, and not how much money there is. But who they are. I'm not saying anything revolutionary, right? This is, I think we all agree with this. But sometimes there's the Yetzirah. Sometimes you can hear the Shidduch. Sometimes you can hear the Shidduch. And it rings in your head. And I have felt this over the years with one of my kids, that there would be a Shidduch that was brought up. And it really wasn't Matim, but there was something glamorous about the Shidduch. And like this little thing went ding. And it said, you know, Maish, you should consider this. And then, you know, you think about it, and then you talk husband and wife, and we talk about it. So what's the tachlis of this? The tachlis of this has nothing to do with your kid. The tachlis of the shidduch has to do with yourself, or with something else, or that the oilam thinks. Or you have some people that the whole chasana is only that they should have their picture in Hamadiyah for one Wednesday in the newspaper, and that's what they make a whole chasana, the Hamevin Yavin, from these kind of things, these kind of shidduch, to make a shidduch, to get into a picture. So the person has here a decision, and you have to stop and you say, okay, what's the tachlis? The tachlis is gilui kvoid malchus yisborach. What's the best thing for my daughter? Would this match be the right thing for my child, as far as that's concerned? And don't just say to be happy, to bring out who the child can be and who these children can be, and to be good Jews, and to bring into this world kosher Yiddish adoyers. So it's a nice chefs of Einot Mavade. You shouldn't fall for something. You shouldn't give in to something. And it's a hard decision sometimes to make. Because there are things of this world that are very appealing, and especially when they're dressed up in all kinds of nice malbushim, you understand? And everything looks like it's frum, and everything looks like it's nice, and it's good. And if you scratch underneath, it's not. So you have to be strong. And you have to constantly, you have to ask Hashem, tell me, what do you want? You gave me such an esri. What a beautiful chefz of Ein Oid Mavada you put into my hands, that you're telling me that I should make a decision for you. But there's something pulling at me the other way. But help me that it should only be for you. With the little things in life, that's not so hard. But with the big things in life, that's hard. But that's a shayna Ein Oid Mavada. It's a beautiful Ein Oid Mavada. It's a beautiful piece of emunah that you bring up to Hashem Yisbarach when you have to make a hard decision like that, and you come to that understanding, and you come to that choice of Ein Oid Mulvada, I'm not giving in. The last paragraph, Bram Hina Yeshva Hashem Yisbarach Noitl Men Odom Esan Nisayim. Sometimes the Baruch Shem suddenly just takes away the Nisayim from you. It takes away the test. Now that could happen in a number of ways. B'tznufa achas mekarvay elav biyodai haruchuma. All of a sudden, with one swoop, Hashem in a second puts his arm around you. His biyodai haruchuma, his loving and merciful arm, is around you, and he pulls you close to him. How does he do that? What does that mean? Laharoisai bebehirus ki ein mu'uma zulasi, Hashem shows you in the clearest way that all there is in the world is me. In other words, the Nisayin goes away. And Nisayin means when you can't decide, you're struggling. There's a war. Sometimes Hashem just takes that away from you. And there's no war at all. And it's not left up to you. It's not your decision. Ki ein mu'uma zulasi, mishon u'miftach olav yisbrach, and Hashem shows you in the clearest way that there's absolutely nothing, there's only him. Noitel heimenu as kol tikva sahatzala. Now, this sounds like this is really terrific. But maybe we're not going to like so much what he's saying. How does Hashem sometimes do this? By taking away from the person any hope that he could have in any other type of salvation. It's not any sign anymore. There's nothing you could do about it. You can't change the circumstances. It's not up to you. So if it's not up to you, it's not a nisayim. A nisayim means that my decision, I can decide either aleph or beis, or gimel dalet hay. But my decision is left up to me, and because of that, I have option A, B, or C. And throughout life, we have to always try to decide to go with Hashem. What happens if Hashem's book takes away every other choice? God forbid, every single doctor says, no, sorry, I can't help you. Takes away all the choices. So then you say, well, I'll try the Mayo Clinic. I'll try, I'll go to Exercel and Shavit Sedek. We'll try this doctor. We'll try that place. Not that we're asking, God forbid, we ask every day, don't bring us to such and such. But there are things like this that happen in life. When Hashem Yisbarach takes away the Nisayon, because you don't. There's nothing for you to decide, because you've run out of decisions. And Hashem Yisbarach is telling you, Ein lecha amila hishayin. You have nobody to rely upon, and no one to turn to except me. Now that sometimes happens in a big, scary way, like the one I just described, Hashem Yirachem, like a medical thing. But that can happen in many, many other ways. Panas and other things. Many other ways. With raising children, the appearance that even if the kid is 16, 17, and you still think that you're Baal Bechir to make the kid a copy of yourself, that's a big Rachmanis. You ever see such a thing? When you have a 16-year-old kid, and the parent is still trying to be the Baal Bechir. The parent still thinks he has Bechir Chavshis to make the kid the way that he wants. There's a friend of mine that Baruch Hashem has a number of children, and he said something that doesn't sound so religious, but he's a very religious guy, and he's a very funny guy. He with his oldest kid, he had kids a little bit late. He started a little bit late, and he had a large family, but got married late, and the kids obviously came later. And he, for the first kid, for his oldest, it was a boy, he listened to every shiur on chinuch. Every single shiur, he got everything out there, he bought all the books, went to all the lectures, tried to, like he was walking around during those early years, he was walking around with the book, what to do next, like a manual. And, you know, with his ear plug in, listening to Rabbi that and Rebbetzin that and what to do. He had a lot of aggravation. It's settling down now a little bit, but it was very, 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 very hard. The teenage years and beyond. The child is married, Baruch Hashem, with kids, but it's still not at all what he would have wanted. So he once said, and he has a lot of other kids, and they're all very, 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 very shtar. So he said to me, Moshe, I learned the secret of chinuch. I said, what's that? He said, not to get involved at all. Just not to get involved. Because I tried getting involved, and it didn't work. The other ones, I said, whatever you want, Yankee. Moshe, whatever. It makes you happy. You want to go to the ball game? You don't like to wear a hat? Throw it in the garbage. Who needs it? And now all they want to do is wear hats, and they don't want to go to ball games. The one that I said that you have to wear a hat, and I was following him with a hat. And I said, you're not going to go to the ball game. And you're not going to watch this, you're not going to do that, and you're not that, that, that. And I had spies when he was in Yerushalayim in every corner watching whether he was talking to this one or that one. Or he put a cigarette in his mouth, or he didn't put a cigarette in his mouth. He said, but that kid, what I had with my chinuch, all my manuals, and all my books, and all my shiurim. But with the ones that I just said, when I was just like a father, and I said, oh, it makes you happy. He said, not obviously, I have cares. You understand, he was giving a mushel. It wasn't exactly like this or like that. It's when he let go, when he was Messiah, when he wasn't anymore a Baal Bechira, when he started daven more, and stopped hitting the kid over the head with his hat, and he turned more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sat back more, and he left more in the Rebbeinu Shlom's hands. That's when his life changed, and that's when the kids were changing. When he was Messiah, from his own kaiches. Now you have to be careful, this should not be misunderstood. No one is suggesting to be mafkir, God forbid, I'm sure you understand. It doesn't mean chas v'shalom. There's no inyan of chinuch, and there's no inyan of Talmud Torah. But I know myself. I have Baruch Hashem, one son, and everybody else are girls. Kanayin Har. All the rest of them are meidlach, but I had my one son, you know? So I was going to make sure that he was going to be the next Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he's a wonderful boy. He's not a boy, he's an adult with children. And he's wonderful, and he knows how to learn, he's gevaldik. But from the time that he could talk, I was already hitting him with the works. The works. You know, we were going through, by the time, before his bar mitzvah, we already made together four or five siyumim. And then it started 2 years before the bar mitzvah already with Kedushas Levi, Chassidus. 2 years before, hard. Not just a little bit, strong. So now I look and I see that all of these kids, like in my neighborhood where they went to Hafter and to Hal, you know, the co-ed schools, all these kids want is to wear bekishes and shrimals, you know. That's all they want. Their parents go mix swimming and kiss each other at the kiddush, you understand? And the kids are walking around like they have, they're chuckling, they daven, they learn. The Rebbeinu Shlomo has a sense of humor. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The Eves, how much Bechira a person has, and when does a Baal Bechira say, I'm a Siyaish, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is taking over, and how to let go. So what he's saying is that sometimes Hashem puts his arm around you. And he takes away the Nisayim. Nisayim means that you could change something. You feel that you have Bechira. I could do this, I could do that. We're not finished. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make that happen. Sometimes Hashem says, you're not making anything happen. You can't make anything happen. And you come to the point where you say, I have nowhere to turn. I've run out of choices. I've run out of options. Neitel Haymen, it was called Tikva Sa'atzol Levat Shua Shibidei Enosh. Any human salvation, any possible option of that type has been taken away. All of those things that you were relying upon and trusting in, they gave you a certain sense of security. The money in the bank, the money invested in this, the building, the this, the this, the that, whatever it might be in Mamanis, or in other things in Ruchnias, I put my kid into the best yeshiva, this is for sure. Can't lose. This is for sure the best yeshiva, the best rabbi. Every single kid in that shiur, in that class, every single kid has a heksher from the Badas in Yerushalayim. On the forehead, they came with a heksher, so I don't have to worry. That kid's not going to defile my child. And here also it's a joke, how the firmest kids in the world are the ones out of town who have next to them the kids that are Machal Shabbos in the same class. It's true. And they're all saying we have to get to New York because we want to have better chinuch for our children. And the firmest kids are the kids from out of town who grew up with Machal Shabbos all over the place. So you made sure that you're going to have your kid in the yeshiva. And not only that, you made sure, this happens a lot next, so there won't be one kid in there. There won't be chas v'shalom, not one svardi, because we don't want that. No svardim for my son. Chas v'shalom. They're not going to be any who are slightly a little bit different. There's not going to be anybody who comes from a house where the mother has a little thing coming out from her head, or maybe she wears sandals or something. Not for my Yankee. You do everything you can to just make sure there's the perfect yeshiva, the perfect chevra, the perfect everything. And then you just sit back and you think it's going to be fine. Because after all, you made your ishtadlus, you passed the big nisayon of life, and you brought your kid up the best way possible, and then everything's fine. No. Ma'ra'yu bi'alil ki dalhu. Sometimes Hashem just shows you that you're impoverished, you have nothing. And none of those things that you thought you could set up for yourself or for your kids are working. And you have no kaychas. The only thing you have is to lean on the Rebbeinu Shlomo, is to give yourself over to Him. Sometimes Hashem just leaves you empty. The choser kol. That doesn't mean that you have to, God forbid, a homeless person, but in that matzah that you're in, He's left you without any options, any choices. Choser kol. In that inyan, you're impoverished because you can't do anything about it. And there you are standing before that one big truth. That big truth is Ein Oid Milvadai. All along you thought there was something else. It's not. All along you thought that it's up to you. It's not. All along you thought that if you do like this and you make it like that and you write it off like this and you sign it up like that, that it's going to be the way that it's supposed to be, because that's what they say, how it turns out, statistically. When you have this yeshiva for your kid, or you have this money for yourself, that's how it turns out. Everybody lives happily ever after. And it ain't happening. And you've run out of ways to change that mitzvah that you're in. Then you're left empty and naked before the truth of all truths, which is Ein Oid Milvadai. It was always Him. It's only Him. Ein Meniach Leimokim Litlais. Sometimes Hashem doesn't give you the choice to make a mistake anymore. meaning to be confused, to be misled, to make believe that there's something else. The nisayon is gone. Because nisayon again means when you have options and you have to make a choice. Sometimes he takes away the choices. Meisir as a hester, he takes away the concealment. Achikra ein lakol po'ul av sharus acheru zulas leida ki ata pa'alta. Till you've come to the point where the eda kol po'ul ki ata pa'al, you call yitzur ki ata yitzata, means that it's clear that the only one here is Hashem. Because there's no way to understand this. There's nothing I could do. There's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all you could do at that point is to say, V'loima, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, U'malchusai v'kol mashallah. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, malchusai v'kol mashallah. Which is the tachlis of why we're in the world, to come to say that, and to mean it. Malchusai v'kol mashallah. And what we're learning here is that davke, when a person, which we're going to go into much more next time to finish up the maimer, is that davke in that matzav of yeyush, when you let go and you accept that you cannot do anything about the conditions and circumstances of the present moment, davke then could be the greatest opportunity of your life to come to that clear truth of Ein Od Mavadai. Davke then, you could see that as the hand of Hashem that's hugging you, that's holding you to bring you to a greater place, to a higher place, to a place that's real in your life, that you've never been in because you've been hiding all the time behind your choices, thinking that they're your choices. And Hashem has brought you to a place of no choice to help you let go of that mistake and to come to the truth of Ein Od Mavadai and to accept this moment as a cheftza of Ein Od Mavadai, as a mohudah dike Ein Od Mavadai, and to overcome and to be mevatel that machshava that says to you, Yesh Oid Mavadai. Yesh Oid Mavadai, there's something else. No, Ein Oid Mavadai. You always said that in davening, and you always professed to believe it, but now you know it, that Ein Oid Mavadai. There are other ways to come to that. It doesn't have to be through suffering, God forbid. There are other ways to come to that. But there's nothing historically as effective as difficulties. Because we're Akshan. We're Akshan. It doesn't have to be that way. And this is what we're talking about on Shabbos. To come to that Pachin of Amunah, of a higher and deeper Amunah, than the Sianis of life. And to come to a point where there's not even a Nisayon anymore. It's just, this is the Metzias of my life. And what do I do with this Metzias of my life? Could change tomorrow, but how am I supposed to live today? Until the Eibishter helps. But today, how do I live? The answer is with Ein Od Mavadai. That's the answer. Not just to accept and to krechts and to be disappointed with life, but to be able to go on filled with Simcha Zechayim. But to understand this more, Hashem will continue. So it won't be this coming Monday. It should be the following Monday. We should be zeichet this even the Chumash in Yerushalayim.